Welcome everyone to the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of BlankPageBeatdown.com. My name is Shah Shahid, and this is the podcast where we compare film remakes with their source material, be it comic books, novels, television series, or even other movies. Today is another one of those sort of weird shows. There are very few instances on this show where the oncoming guest has sort of dictated the movies, which usually aren't my jam, but, you know, I suffer through for their sake kind of a deal. It's cool because it kind of helps me, kind of pushes my comfort zone and makes me think about movies in that I usually wouldn't watch or have already dismissed years ago in ways that I never would have until they said, hey, we should do this, stupid. So, similarly, today is one of those situations where we're going to be comparing the movie She's the Man from 2006 starring Amanda Bynes. That's right, that Amanda Bynes. And which is a remake of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. And the Bollywood remake of She's the Man, which is Dil Bole Haripa from 2009 starring Rani Mukherjee and Shahid Kapoor. And the conductor of this show, the person with the idea, is none other than... what I always call is a podcast, Bollywood podcast pioneer, Miss Catherine Filasetta, a.k.a. K-Phil. What up?
Cool. To be fair, I do want to clarify that you would not have ever invited me back on this show if I hadn't come up with my own idea.
So, a little bit of advice. If you want to be back on the show... don't pick like a Shakespearean remake starring like, and then the Bollywood version with like horrible acting from like 10 years ago. That's not, I mean, clearly it worked. You're here. So, hey,
we did Shakespeare last time. What are
we
you
did.
Talking about?
We did. Yeah, but that was like good Shakespeare. That was like Vishal Bhardwaj Shakespeare.
Not the Hamlet though. The American one. That one was mad
it's
shitty.
True. True, but Mel Gibson.
I couldn't even watch it.
Pre-racism and drunkenness was always good. Can't really blame me for that. Why? What is your logic for any of these people in any of this movie, except for Rani? but yeah,
I thought these movies were great.
So we'll get to that. Yeah, so we don't need to get to know you this time around because I think we had enough of a psych session last time. We're going to be jumping right into the movies. We're going to be getting into a lot of details about both She's the Man and Dil Bole Haripa. So I don't know if we need a spoiler warning. I mean, the most recent movie in this list is from 10 years ago almost. So, but yeah, we'll be talking about all the details of She's the Man and Dil Bole Haripa. If you haven't seen either, you want to see it, fast forward to the end or come back and I don't know. I mean, it seems
or
weird why you
want
to. Or
listen to the spoilers first and then watch the movie is also a viable option.
Are you the kind of person that reads the last chapter of a book?
No, not with books, but I like spoilers for movies because I like to see the foreshadowing.
So you know what my wife does? She won't watch a movie that she's not already interested in unless she knows everything about it.
I mean, I'm obviously not that picky, but...
yeah. So the way I sell a movie to her is to tell her everything that happens. And then she might be like, oh, that sounds interesting, I might watch it.
Yeah, that sort of works with me.
Yeah, or the worst is when we're watching a goddamn movie and she's not ready for it or she doesn't know anything about it, in the middle of the movie, she will start Googling it and like
yeah,
Wikipediaing it.
Yeah, that's what
I do. You guys are horrible.
I always
you guys are terrible.
Wikipedia
this is
and
the
IMDb,
worst.
All the movies like as I'm watching it because I like need to find out what is going to happen.
But do you do like the plot synopsis only or do you read like the Wikipedia, you know, plot summary, which is like, you know, takes you through all the acts and all the plot points. And all
oh,
that
no,
shit.
I'll read the Wikipedia, everything.
Oh, my. Worst. You guys are the worst.
Sorry.
Like, it's how, like, it's so frustrating sometimes when you're just watching and, you know, I put on a movie and I'm like, oh, I wonder if she's gonna like this. And I'm kind of trying to, like, watch her reactions from, like, you know, side eye. And she's getting into it, she's into it. And then there's that one moment where she's on her phone and I'm like, oh, god damn, just watch the movie. You guys are the worst. But yeah, so.
It's because we don't watch movies the same way you do.
Yeah,
so
worst.
Judgmental.
Worst. All right, let's get into this. So, little did I know, and clearly I don't think you knew either, that She's the Man, which is essentially a movie about a girl who wants to play soccer, is denied on joining the boys' team because of, sexism. So she essentially pretends to be her twin brother, pretends to be a guy to be playing soccer on the men's team. And little did I know that this movie is actually a remake. So not only is it a remake or an adaptation of William Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, it's also a remake of a 1985 teen comedy movie called Just One of the Guys.
Yeah. I will have to watch that one, too.
And I'll tell you something. That the plot of that sounds a hell of a lot more interesting than this piece of crap you made me watch. Just quickly going through the plot summary. It's all about an aspiring teenage journalist who feels like her teachers don't take her newspaper articles seriously because of her good looks. She later realizes because of sexism. So while her parents are gone, she, with the help of her little brother and a friend, she essentially pretends to be a guy, joins a rival high school, and in their journalism department, and ends up becoming an awesome kick-ass journalist as a dude.
Kind of that doesn't sound. The Wikipedia article.
That's what I'm trying to paraphrase. Why do
you
do this?
It sounds good. This sounds really good.
You legit just did that during the podcast, where you just stop listening to me and try to googling what happens in the show.
Yeah.
What are we gonna talk about?
It looks like a good movie. I want to watch it, so I wanted to find out what happens. I guess I know what happens because I watched two versions of the movie.
So tune in next time to the Split Screen Podcast. That movie does seem like it strays. What was surprising to me, though, is how much She's the Man adheres, how faithfully it adheres to Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. That kind of, when I was looking into it, I'm like, holy crap, even the names are
it was
straight
pretty,
from the play.
I didn't actually know anything about Twelfth Night. I smart noticed it after watching both the movies, and I watched She's the Man and I liked it a lot better than Dilbale Hadipa, which is really surprising to me because I had really liked that movie when I watched it too. And then I read the summary for the Twelfth Night and I was like, this is nothing like either of these movies, but it was sort of like She's the Man, because at least they stuck the names and there was the twin brother and all that nonsense.
Well, I mean, the premise, I mean, I guess the soccer thing was kind of adapted.
What bothered me is how Dilbale Hadipa didn't even have a love triangle. It was just the two of them, and it's that took a lot of the interest and a lot of the Twelfth Nightness out of the entire thing.
So essentially what Kayfil is referring to, a little bit of inside baseball. Yeah, this is where I talk to my audience. You be quiet now. I think Shakespeare had this too a little bit, right? Where there was not just a love triangle, there was a whole hectagon of love stories happening where basically the girl that pretended to be the guy ends up falling in love with who's supposed to be her peer, her other soccer buddy, her roommate, who thinks she's a guy, but who starts falling in love with her thinking she's her own sister. And then the girl that he likes starts liking her thinking she's a guy, but she's actually pretending to be a guy, but she's a girl. And this is really a terrible, terrible.
It's really hard to explain. it's really better if you just watch it, to be honest. I thought it was a great movie. It was really good. But, I guess I said on Twitter, sort of, I was really rooting for Viola and Olivia to get together in the end. I really wanted that to happen.
Yeah.
And it didn't, and that really disappointed me. And what was surprising to me when I was looking up The Twelfth Night is that Shakespeare did actually intend for it to be questionable sexuality, whatever, within the love, whatever octagon it is or some bullshit.
Do you think if this was, I feel like we're just getting to the end of the podcast questions now. Do you think this movie was 2018? There would be a sort of crisis of emotions for the main character where she kind of has feelings for both, Olivia, the secondary sort of female lead as well as the male lead, and she kind of has to pick, like, essentially like a love triangle between where, you know, instead of choosing between two guys, she has to choose between a girl and a guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one I call dibs. That's copyright me. Like, I already called dibs on that. But
I
yeah.
Way, I think exactly the way you call dibs is you just have to make it.
No, and the way I call dibs is tweeting about it. That's how it works.
I don't know if Twitter's binding like that. I don't.
Anyway, that's exactly how I imagined the ending happening was, yeah, but also you have to, like, take in mind Olivia's, like, realizing she's been in love with a girl this whole time, too, and having to come to terms with that as well.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because there's a lot of sort of, I guess, gender discussions you can have about, because, excuse me, the premise of, I guess, all these stories is that she's kind of compelled to pretend to be a guy because she feels like she's not getting the opportunities, be it in whatever field, as a woman. So right off the bat, for me, that's kind of like, wait a minute, are we going to address this? And I don't think anyone does it. I mean, the Little Boy Haripa does it in a sort of gratuitous, emotionally exploitative way. There's a lot of God in that movie, which I don't understand why.
Yeah, there really was. And there was, like, that long-ass speech at the end, and I was just like, come on, this is going to be quiet for this long.
Like, I have a lot of problem with movies that end on speeches. Or,
yeah,
like,
me too.
That, where the climax is a speech. I have, like, a massive problem with that.
But
talking about the end, so, I mean, essentially, like, so Dilboy Halipa, the way they adapted She's the Man, essentially, is instead of soccer, it's cricket. Rani Mukherjee plays a small town, I guess, village girl who's, like, a cricket superstar. She loves cricket. She's really good at cricket. But obviously no one's letting her play because she's a girl. So she ends up joining up, pretends to be, like, this bearded Sardarji guy. And joins the team, which the coach of whom is obviously Shahid Kapoor. And yeah, everything was very one note in the Little Harry Potter. Like, again, like I said, with She's a Man, it's hard to explain what happens because there's so many things happening, there's so many plot points, there's so many characters running around and misunderstandings,
right.
and crazy
pretty
shenanigans.
It's fucking easy to explain Dilboy Haripa because, like, that was basically it. And then,
yeah,
of course, at the end, they fall in love. Done.
And you know what's weird, too, also, in Dilboy Haripa? Like, I loved, again, this is, it's weird that I'm picking She's the Man as a better movie than the Bollywood version.
I thought that way, too.
But, like, first of all, by the way, if you have no other reason to watch She's the Man, this is one of Channing Tatum's first roles. So, there you go.
Also, like, I didn't know who Channing Tatum was. Like, I'm one of, like, maybe we've had this discussion before, maybe not, but, like, I can't tell the difference between white guys, like, at all, whatsoever. Like, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, same person. Like,
what?
Who else? All the Ryans, like the La La Land guy and the Deadpool are not the same person? I thought those were the same person. They're apparently not. Like, all these people, all the different Chrises too, there's like 12 of them. I have no idea who's who. So Channing Tatum was another one of those generic, like, white dudes that I had no idea who he was. Now I know who the fuck he is because he was good looking in this one. I don't know who I could choose between him or Shahid. It was very hard.
Where are you from? Like, what? Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling to you are the same person? That makes absolutely no sense.
They look exactly the same.
But hold on. Okay, hold on. I've recently discovered this for myself. But have you seen, like, do you follow their movies? Have you seen them in movies before you make that distinction? Or is it more from, like, the media, press, and that kind of things?
No, like, I mean, I saw La La Land and I saw Deadpool and I thought it was the same actor.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Did you follow them before that? Like, did you watch any of their other movies prior to those two?
I mean, I probably saw them around.
You're weird. Because that's weird. Like, those are two totally different people. And, like, two totally different... Like, I'm even trying to think of, like, their on-screen personas and their on-screen performances. Totally different.
I thought he was just a really versatile actor.
Who? Which one of them?
The one that I thought it was.
That's a compliment to one of those people. That's a compliment to one of those actors.
No, it's not anymore because it was only they were only a good actor when they were one person.
Yeah, but it's a compliment to either Ryan Gosling that he's coming off as Ryan Reynolds or Ryan Reynolds that he's coming off as Ryan Gosling.
I think
one of those guys.
Just that all white dudes look the same, but whatever.
I feel like that's racist.
Anyway, Channing Tatum.
Really racist.
The whole point of anything I said was just that Channing Tatum looks damn good in this movie. And I also really like Amanda Bynes in this movie as well. I totally didn't realize how good of an actress she was. Like, I knew Rani was an amazing actress, but Amanda Bynes, like, she's good.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay, so, okay, I have a weird sort of association with Channing Tatum, because I only saw him in Step Up. That I thought was, like, his first, like, big role, but clearly She's a Man predated that by, I think, like, a year or two.
Yeah, I didn't know that was him in Step Up, but I saw that, too.
Yeah, I mean, and I remember him because I'm like, oh, this guy's a good dancer, but whatever, in one of these teeny sort of stupid movies. And then he started doing all these dramatic roles like G.I. Joe and nonsense. I'm like, ugh, worst. I think I really started paying attention to this guy from 21 Jump Street. Because I'm like, oh, he's not just like a beefcake hero that, like, he actually has some acting chops. He's actually good at self-deprecating humor. He can do stupid stuff and make fun of himself. And I think that's kind of when I became a fan of Channing Tatum. But, yeah. Apparently he's in Coach Carter, too, which I didn't know about. But I've clearly seen Coach Carter, so... but yeah, so She's a Man that, yeah, there's, I mean, what's weird too is if you look at like Twelfth Night from Shakespeare, it seems like a story that should be really easily adapted to Bollywood, right? Because, like, to me, the weird part is with Dilbale Haripa, I usually have the opposite complaint, where I'll watch a Bollywood movie and I'm like, oh my god, there's way too many subplots, there's way too much comic relief, there's way too many side characters doing stupid things that I don't care about, whereas Dilbale Haripa was the complete opposite.
Right, exactly. Like, it should have been convoluted and interesting, and it wasn't. And I'm really surprised, because it could have been if it was really supposed to be an adaptation of these two things.
And Shakespeare's always like that, too, right? Shakespeare's always like, you know, the climax is like this crazy madcap, you know, stupid stuff happening with, like, 50 other people. And you had the right elements, too. Like Dilbale Haripa had the actors who are known for that kind of stuff. Like, that supporting actor, the guy who was, like, the Ronnie's driver, or, you know, like, he was the guy who drove the truck. That guy's, like, a comic relief guy.
Right.
But it's, like, you gave him nothing to do in that movie for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. It was ridiculous. And the other thing that really bothered me about it was that, right off the bat, like, there's no question about She's the Man. Like, She's the Man is Amanda Bynes' story, and that's it. Like,
yeah.
It's about her, and this one for some reason starts out with this whole fucking like Shahid montage, and it's like Rani is such a brilliant actress, and it should have been her story, and it could have been her story, and for some reason they didn't give it to her, and I don't understand why, because that would have just been a better perspective, even if they did forego the love triangle and whatever other nonsense. At least they could have made it still centered around her, because she's, I mean, I love Shahid, but like between her and Shahid, like, she's definitely the better actress.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, you're absolutely right. What's weird too was that, like, they did adapt, like, it's, I mean, it's kind of funny because you have a movie, the premise of which is a woman is forced to do, you know, go to these extreme lengths to for equality, but then the movie also gives away the original story's best sort of character development moments to the guy in the remake.
Yeah,
like, for example,
exactly.
Like in the Amanda Bynes versions, her parents are divorced. So
yes.
That's kind of the premise of their playing off of the divorced parents. You know, I'm at dad's and, oh, I'm at mom's, and they don't really know. And they kind of come together, you know, for the reveal in the third act, which Dilbale Haripa does too. But for some reason, it's Shahid with the parents. And that storyline too, there's so much there. And I'm like, why? There's all this conversation about you left mom because you love India and she's from London, but now you lied to... And I'm like, I don't... Like, where is this bag... Why is this baggage
but
here? Why does he have this baggage?
Because that's what every fucking movie did back then. That's the problem, is that that was the goal of every movie, was, like, bringing NRIs back to India by showing them that they, you know... whatever, they're too westernized, bring them back to India by falling in love with a girl that represents Mother India, and then all of a sudden they're Indian again. Like, that's what every single movie during the 2000s did.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I guess you're right.
So that's why they had to throw in the thing with the divorced parents too, and her going off to London. So it was like, that's why he was there, that's why he was westernized. Of course, it was all the mom's fault.
Yeah, I love how they're, their sort of coming together love story is her singing a song about India.
Yeah,
which was
exactly.
super weird because I'm like, I don't, is
This
this
was like
what's
the
happening?
epitome to me of like, it was so clear that it wasn't Ronnie he was in love with, it was India that he was falling in love with. And like they made that really, really, really clear from the second
Yeah.
she has a conversation with him. Like the first time they have a conversation, it's like, oh, Miss India. Like, yeah, that's what she's gonna be the entire fucking movie. And it just isn't as interesting. I mean, I find it interesting that that was the plot of every single movie during that time period, but it's not an interesting storyline compared to having this really intricate love triangle and everything that happened, and she's the man. I thought that was actually a good movie, surprisingly. I really wasn't expecting it to be.
It's, I think it's one of those situations where, and here's my theory of it. I think She's the Man only looks good in comparison to Dilbale Haripa, because I remember watching She's the Man.
No.
No, listen, I remember watching She's the Man like years ago for whatever reason, and I thought it was just another one of those movies. I'm like, oh, this is another one of those sort of Nickelodeon Disney Channel nonsense crap adventures of, you know, just stupid. And
First off, Disney
honestly
Channel
speaking,
is not nonsense,
listen, listen,
so back
honestly,
off.
it honestly isn't one of the, like, for example, like, there's movies of this genre that's kind of holds up, like Clueless, I think, kind of holds up, like the Alicia Silverstone version. Yeah, that's right, I've seen Clueless.
Have you seen Zombies, the new Disney Channel movie? It's the latest Disney Channel movie. It's basically their new High School Musical, and it is really fucking good. Like, Disney Channel can make some good movies, so
Are you
don't write off this
trying to sell
genre.
me on Disney Channel?
Yes, I am right now.
I don't. That came out of nowhere. I
No, it didn't. You were just shitting on Disney and Nickelodeon. You were like, I thought She's the Man was just another Disney Nickelodeon movie. They make good shit.
I honestly don't know enough about those anymore since after I was 14.
You have children.
They don't watch. No, they don't watch. They don't watch live TV. You know what live TV is nowadays for kids? Commercials. Commercials for dolls that poop and dogs that need to be walked and crap like that.
Oh.
Yeah, we stream the good shit. That's what we do.
I have the Disney Channel app on my devices and I watch it, so I just assumed all kids did. Anyway, we're very off topic.
Anyways.
Back to She's the Man. It was a great movie.
Yeah, in comparison to Dilbale Haripa is
Okay,
my point.
definitely in comparison, but I thought by itself, like, I was laughing out loud. Like, I was really rooting for characters. I mean, not the characters that actually ended up together. I was very disappointed by the ending, but the fact that I had that much passion about it and was so disappointed by who ended up together, like, I think that says that that was a good movie. Like, I didn't have those feelings about Dilbale Haripa, so.
I'm just sorry, while you were talking, I tuned out, and I was actually just looking at the poster for She's the Man.
Wikipedia.
No, I was looking at the poster, and I love how the poster is exactly how I was trying to describe the movie and got tongue-tied. I'm just gonna read the post really quickly. Everybody has a secret. Duke wants Olivia, who likes Sebastian, who is really Viola, whose brother is dating Monique, so she hates Olivia, who's with Duke to make Sebastian jealous, who is really Viola, who's crushing on Duke, who thinks she's a guy. That's legit the poster of She's the Man.
Yeah.
And that's like the best
And
summary
see,
that I can give you.
yeah, and this is what I love about movies like this, that they just straight up just have it on the poster, the entire fucking plot. Makes it so easy. I don't have to Wikipedia anything.
It's yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot more going on in She's a Man that I don't, again, it doesn't make sense to me, because again, when you look at, when you, again, if you Wikipedia like we've been doing, Twelfth Night, and you just read that first paragraph, you go, oh, I get it. I get why this would be an amazing Bollywood movie, because these are the storylines and subplots that Bollywood movies squeeze into other movies to begin with, even if it's out of context. But then you watch Dilbale Haripa, and it's like, first of all, I have a big problem with how the male character, like the male protagonist, reacts to finding out that this guy that he's known ends up being a
Yes!
girl. Because
Like, that was fucking like toxic
weird.
masculinity, like, epitomized, like, how dramatic he had to be about it. Like, it was at least a 10-minute montage of him being so upset that he was lied to, or that a girl was better than him at cricket, or something.
Something.
I think it was because she was good at the sport and he couldn't handle that. And like, What the fuck? Like,
Yo,
man,
bro got
if
super dramatic. He's like, that's my
you.
heart that you stepped all over. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. Like, okay, so Channing Tatum in She's the Man, when it kind of finally comes out, and it has to come out explicitly for him to even acknowledge that this is happening. Like, there's an accusation earlier that, oh yeah, he's a, Viola's a guy. And everyone's kind of like, what the hell? That makes no sense. And they dismiss it. So even when the reveal finally happens, like, Amanda Bynes has to, like, take off her, wig and, like, do the whole hair flip for anyone to process that this is real.
Which
Excuse
also,
me.
I mean, like, is ridiculous because she looks nothing like her brother. Like, they literally, like, a height difference,
I was gonna,
like, a
yeah, the
bunch
height
of
thing is weird, but
faces.
I gotta say though, like, the casting of the brother was really good
No,
in
I
She's the
mean, the
Man,
cast,
because, like, from far
it
away, you can
was.
kind of be like, oh, I get it, they've both got, like, the baby
From
fat
far away, like,
cheeks
I
and then the
get the
chubby,
people sitting in the
like,
stadium not
yeah.
getting it, but I don't get the people who, like, lived with this guy
Okay, if you're
thinking
gonna
it was the
start
same
nitpicking that
person.
kind of stuff, you gotta, like, go even harder on the fact that it's Rani Mukherjee in a beard. How can you not tell?
Oh, I loved those reveals too. Those reveals were really great because she just suddenly like took off her beard and then magically was all made up.
Okay, so hold on. I want to come back to that too, because that's just one of the smallest moments of that scene. But yeah, no,
Yeah.
I want to come back to Shahid Kapoor.
Yeah.
So when Channing Tatum find out that, Amanda Bynes is the dude that he's been rooming with for the last 2 weeks or whatever, you can see on his face the confusion, like, just inexplicable. Like, I what? Whereas Shahid Kapoor finds out, first of all, in the most innocuous way ever,
Yeah.
Because Rani Mukherjee obviously has green eyes, so she's playing a dude, so for whatever reason she has
And
to have
dudes
brown
can't have
eyes,
green eyes.
which, yeah, I know,
Like, dudes just can't have
huh?
green eyes. There's no way.
So she's wearing contacts, brown contacts, to mask, I guess, the sexiness of her eyes, because dudes can't have those eyes. So during the, the third act final cricket match, where they're tag teaming and they're, winning the game, he finds her contact, which, by the way, is, like, the most terrible looking prop I've ever seen, because contacts don't look like that.
And also, it's like lying on the field and she just puts it back in her eye, which is so gross.
So he finds a contact, and here's my thing. You find someone else lost their contact, and it's revealed that their eye color, the natural eye color, is totally different. How in what universe does that leap to? Clearly, she's a woman.
And either way, like, if you're playing a game, like, I feel like I would emotionally process this after the game is over, right? Like, I'd be like, okay, whatever. Like, let's let this slide for a little bit. This is something weird going on, but I don't have time to deal with what weird is going on. Let me just play this fucking game.
Right.
Instead, he, like, goes into the locker room and, like, throws everything and, like, cries. And it's just, oh my God.
It's okay, like I'm trying to, like, when I saw that, I tried to kind of logically go through that, right? I'm like, okay, is it because, like, oh, she has green eyes, so being her brother, that's what the clue is, that, oh, she has green eyes and he's wearing contacts and I have green eyes, so he must be her. But at the same time, wouldn't you be like, wait a minute, they're siblings, so clearly they can both have the same eye
Right.
color. Maybe he wants to separate himself for her, or, like, maybe it's prescriptive. Like, there's so many things you can
Right.
go through before, oh, I get it, this is her in drag. Like, and his reaction after to that knowledge isn't even, like, anyone that reacts to that knowledge would be like, what the hell? Why? Like, so many questions. But he is immediately super upset, super angry. Very specifically, for some reason, because it's like, dude, why? Like, do you not want an explanation? Do you not want to know what the hell is going on? Why she did this? Like, what the point of it all? Why are you so betrayed about something you have no idea about?
Yeah. Can we also talk about the use of nudity in these films? Because I thought it was very interesting. I mean, not that we as an audience saw anything, but it was like very early on, Shahid like walks in and sees Ronnie naked,
Right.
right? And then like from that point forward, like obviously they had to get married by the end or else like that was just it.
They'd be
But
stoned, clearly.
exactly. But in She's the Man, this dude just pulls down his pants to prove that he's a guy. And then she ends up having to, for some reason, she has to show her boobs to prove she's a woman, or else no one would believe her. Which isn't even like if they really looked that similar, I feel like it should have, she should have also pulled down her pants, but whatever, irrelevant. That's like, and that was just it, and it was just brushed off, and it was like, okay, cool, this guy showed his dick to the whole stadium, that's no problem. And it's just so amazing how drastically different those two scenes went.
I love how you're like still fighting for equality, even with like the pants dropping and the shirt raising scenes. Like, he dropped his pants, why can't you drop her pants? That's just sexist.
No, it wasn't a fight for equality. That's not what it was. It was
why does she have to flash her boobs? That doesn't make sense.
He never took off his shirt to prove that he was a dude.
Yeah,
so
but he could just be a woman. He could be a girl that's, you know, not as developed.
But that's what I'm saying. She, by showing her chest, how does that solve anything? If they really look that similar, maybe, you know, he has boobs and he has a dick. That's a thing. Like,
I feel like these are very, like, 2018
this
perspectives.
This is a very 2018 conversation.
Right?
That's true.
Right? Because it's funny, too, because what happened the other day? Like, so, okay, no. So when I watch these movies, I usually, like, involve my kids. Especially because she's a man. These are kind of the movies that they would enjoy. So I recently had this conversation with my kids about transgender people and what that means and how that works. I mean, obviously, I simplified a lot because it is a complicated, like, I don't even understand all of it. But I explained to them that, you know, sometimes people don't feel comfortable, you know, with the gender that they're born in. So they do a lot of different things to essentially, you know, either transition or whatever. So they kind of, again, with that simplification, they understood. So when they were watching Dil Boli Haripa, my eldest, that scene where she comes on as, you know, this bearded, Rani comes on as this bearded Sardar, her question was like, oh, sure, did she fully transition? So then I had to get into, like, nuances of transgendered and cross-dressed, and I had to explain. I'm like, no, I think she's just dressing up, honey. I don't think she doesn't want to be a man, she just has to pretend to be a man so that she can get the same rights.
That was interesting also, like, when I was thinking about a 2018 remake and what that would look like.
Yeah.
It did cross my mind, like, would it have to be a full-on, like, transgender thing? I think some people would feel that way, but I think that this is a totally different story, right? The feeling, I feel like it's fighting for, like, she has to use masculinity in
right.
order to get what she wants, so that's what she's doing.
It's I
like,
think it,
which
I think
is something that everyone can. I mean, all women can relate to, whether they're transgender or not. I feel like we have to go into spaces and assert ourselves in ways that men would, and not in the traditional domesticated woman way, if we want to be taken seriously. And that's what these movies are about. But if it was about transgender, that would be a totally different story.
I also think that, I mean, and it's so weird, like, the more we talk about this, the more I'm actually like, oh my god, yeah, this should be a movie that gets remade today.
Yeah, it really should, right?
Because it's kind of like, you also think about, like, so for example, Amanda Bynes' portrayal of this character was very tomboyish, which is great for the story that it's being told. You know, her mom's trying to force her into, like, this debutante ball situation, and she doesn't want any of it. But I think there is a way to tell this story where you have a girl character who is very much a girl. She wants to be a girl. She's not, you know, she's not conflicted about gender identity or anything like that. But she has to kind of conform to society's ideals of what it means to be a man in order to pass to do the things that she wants to do and get treated equally, which makes it even harder that if you're a girl who's into, like, and again, I thought about this because I'm watching She's the Man, and I'm thinking about, I'm like, oh my god, I wish my kid was this comfortable with herself,
right?
You know, because, you know, she's very much a girl. She's very much, you know, she's shy. She's kind of, you know, socially conscious. And I'm like, oh my god, I love that Amanda Bynes' character is very, you know, she doesn't give a crap. She's eating mouthfuls of food at, like, a debutante, like, you know, sort of luluncheon.
Right.
She doesn't care about talking with the mother. And I'm like, this is refreshing. This is just, you know, it's, she's very secure with who she is as a person, and she doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about that, and I'm like, oh my god, imagine if my daughter had to pretend to be a guy. That would be so much harder for her.
Right, exactly.
Because she's a total girly girl.
Oh my god, this is exactly what, while I was waiting for you because you were late, I was tweeting about, like, someone was saying that there needed to be basically a lesbian version of Queer Eye, which is, like, women who are on the spectrum of LGBTQIA whatever, being going in to other women who feel domesticated and feel this way and empowering them to be themselves and be fully themselves and like assert themselves in the ways that men do and all this other stuff. And I was like, yeah, that would be fucking awesome. Like, that would be a really great version of Queer Eye.
Yeah, I mean, it's so weird. Like, I'm tired. It's late, but yeah, this especially. I mean, like, when you mentioned, like, when you tweeted about the fact that, you know, you want to do like a remake of this movie today, I instantly thought of the new movie that just came out, Love, Simon, which is all about, you know, a homosexual boy coming out and like his love story and his struggle is coming out. But the way it's done is in a very sort of, you know, teen rom com style kind of a thing. And I'm like, I could see that. I could see that about, like, a transgender kid or, like, you know, any other sort of queer or lesbian sort of character. And that works. Amazingly works.
I've been having these great conversations with these two women that I work with a lot. I feel the need to say their names because they're so important. Jodi Savitz, who directed this wonderful documentary called Girl on Girl. And her girlfriend, Ash Knowlton, who's an amazing sound designer. And they are both, like, very feminine lesbians. And so we've been having a lot of these conversations about how in media we have all these great movies like Love, Simon. But we don't have that many lesbian versions of the same thing. And aside from that, we don't have very many movies that praise femininity, which this version of She's the Man that you're proposing would be really interesting because it would be like she is feminine, but she has to do this versus this tomboy thing that she had to be from the beginning for this to work in 2006. And same with Ronnie also, like, had to be very, like, I mean, it had to be a Punjabi girl because no one else could pull it, you know, like,
because they're outspoken and they're crass or whatever, right?
And so yeah, and anyway, I think that's why also I think that She's the Man, I mean, that was Shakespeare's original intention, was for it to be this, like, gender, I mean, not that I know, I guess, but what SparkNotes said was that his original intention was to have everyone, like, this gender fluidity be an interesting part of it and be a moral of the story. And when Channing Tatum, for instance, is like, yeah, I like you, like, he finds out that Amanda Bynes is a girl instead of a guy, he's like, yeah, I liked you as Viola, but I also miss my roommate. And, like, he's really chill about it. And that's how it happened in Shakespeare also, where it was like he sort of fell in love with the guy anyway. So and that,
well,
that
they have that whole conversation too, right? They have that whole conversation too. Like, it's so funny that Channing Tatum's character in this movie is so, like, enlightened for the typical sort of stereotypical jock guy portrayal, because
especially there is in 2006.
They have a conversation, right, where, you know, Amanda Bynes is trying to be a dude, so she's overcompensating by being kind of disrespectful and objective towards women, and Channing Tatum's character is the one that kind of goes, yo, why do you gotta talk about girls like that, you know?
Yeah.
And they start talking about his perfect woman, and he's just like, I just want to have, you know, I want a girl who I can just talk to, like this, referring to the conversation they're having. And it's like this weird scene where, again, I'm watching it today, in today's context, and I'm like, is this intentional? Like, do they know what they're doing in this scene? Because this is so cool and progressive that I don't think they understand, like, the deeper levels of the conversation that's happening
She's
here.
She's the Man was fucking a good movie. That's what I'm trying to say. But
God damn it.
But at any rate, I think it would be really interesting to see this remake of this, where they really indulged in the bisexuality of it all, because there's no bisexual representation. Yeah. Like, at all, and no representation of that femininity can be a thing, and it's really hard that it's like, to be a lesbian you have to also be a dyke or whatever, or a butch or whatever it is, and you have to grow up being a tomboy, and that's like how it is. To even be Amanda Bynes in this movie, she had to be a tomboy. Like, that's a ridiculous sentiment, and I would love to see this remade the way that you mentioned, and where Olivia also is like, shit, I fell in love with this man and now she's a woman, but like,
what
does that
say about me?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, because I'm still in love with her, even though she's now a her, and now I have to deal with this conflict in myself of, I never saw myself that way, but this is the most wonderful man/woman I've ever met. So how do I deal with this? Instead of instantly falling for her brother, who she had never met before, but to be fair, that was true to Shakespeare's original story. They instantly got married, apparently, in the Twelfth Night. So.
I mean, it's also like, I mean, all these sort of subplot love story, love triangle angles is essentially what it boils down to, right? When you think about what people say, when they are bisexual or they're, of a different sexual sort of mentality, when they talk about, oh, there's just an attraction with the human being that I'm interacting with, and not that has
Right.
nothing to do with their gender or their,
And to be fair, the 2018 version would not say bisexual at all. It would say pansexual, because that's a new trendy thing. And that's exactly what you're talking about, is
I'm, yeah.
what pansexual, I guess, means is that you fall in love with the inner person and not with genitals or whatever. And I think I'm like, but isn't that everyone? So whatever.
I think there's way too many prefixes to sexual for me to even comprehend to be able to talk about
We're in
intelligently.
a really weird place in 2018 with queerness, I think,
No, but
but.
I think it comes down to, like, we had this similar debate in my day job where this thing came out in Ontario about how people should be addressed and the fact that addressing someone as Mr. or Ms. may be uncomfortable to them and may have some issues with what they're comfortable with. So this sparked this whole debate in at my day job about the fact that that's just a sign of politeness. You say Mr. So and so because you wanna, convey a sense of being polite to that person. But I'm like, yeah, I understand. That's absolutely right. But if they personally are feeling offended by it, you're doing the exact opposite of what you're intending. How does that make you feel? And people don't get it, and people can't understand that. And people
And
are like,
especially
well, that's
like
how I
both
was
of us.
raised. That's just polite. And I'm like, to
Right.
you, that's polite to you.
And both of us, like, we're in North America, but it's like, for instance, like the woman who runs NAIF here in New York, Arun Chivasani, she's an amazing, powerful, strong woman, and I think she's wonderful. And her name's Arun, so that could be a male name as well, so everyone assumes it is, and addresses all these emails to her and all these messages to her being like, sir whatever and Mr. Arun, and all this stuff, and like assuming she's a man. And it's like so offensive to me on her behalf, because it's like she, like, especially she's old, like she's retiring this year, and she had to
Oh,
fight to
no.
be respected as a woman and to run this entire festival as a woman. And now everyone's still just assuming she's a man, even 20 years later. Like, it's terrible.
Yeah, damn it. You're making me like she's the man more and more with this conversation. I want to come back to the movies.
Yeah, we should cycle back around. Sorry.
so there's one thing I had a massive problem with Dilbilehri Patoo, which I think this was the thing that kind of broke the camel's back for me in the movie. In She's the Man, when she outs herself as dude, it's me. That's her choice. In Dilbilehri Patoo, Shahid Kapoor outs Rani Mukherjee.
Yeah, that's true.
And that to me, I think, essentially sums up the whole thing, right? Like,
Yeah.
and I think Dilbilehri Patoo, without realizing it, contradicts itself with the message that it's trying to kind of
Yeah.
showcase. Because it's kind of
Yeah.
like, hey, like they have this one scene where it's like, Rani Mukherjee's character is getting sort of mocked for wanting to try out for the men's team, and then the one of the Hindu deities, which is a female figure, kind of a procession walks by and everyone kind of bows their head in praise and gives their respects to that deity. And Rani Mukherjee says a comment such as, "Oh, on one hand you're respecting the female form in as a goddess, but then you're disrespecting me at the same time. So
Right.
how hypocritical." And that to me was like, yeah, but so is the entire movie,
Right,
because you gave like
exactly.
her backstory to the guy, like. And then at the
Yeah.
end, the guy outed her. She had no choice in the matter.
Exactly. Yeah, that all really bothered me. There were two things, though, I will say, as we're getting closer to ending this, there were two things I did like better about the Dilbilehri Patoo than She's the Man. One was both of them had way, like, I think She's the Man might have had more music than the Dilbilehri Patoo, actually, which is really surprising. And there's no question about which one's music was better. Like 2006 punk rock bullshit versus like Dilbaleherdeepa's music was like there. Like Dilbaleherdeepa at least had good music.
Okay, good. Yeah, I that was one of the things I was really surprised because I remember when the movie came out, I listened to the soundtrack and I was really happy with all the songs. So I'm like, oh my god, these were all songs I jammed to back in 2009.
Right, exactly. And
I totally forgot about them.
That these songs were from that movie. I literally at my last dance recital a year ago danced to The School I Kiss Go, and I was like, oh my god, how do I know all these moves that I'm watching? Oh right, this was last year. Like these songs have longevity. Like,
and it was also at that time of Bollywood movies where they did that thing where it's like the title song was also a music video at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Right. So and I totally forgot about that. So with this movie at the end it comes on, I'm like, holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
a nice sort of blast of the past. And I got my kids into it, and now, like, the soundtrack's on our, like, Apple Music. Now that thing's on repeat, like, every day.
I fucking posted my bunny dancing to it on Instagram. Like, she was into it. Like, she was hopping around. She was like, I like the song. I'm like, damn, you're a better bongo dancer than I am. But, yeah, anyway, that was one thing. The other thing I liked better about Dilbaleherdeepa was that she did... You were talking about, you were, because we were ruining this podcast before it happened by talking as we were watching these movies. And you mentioned that your kids were complaining about Shahid Kapoor's outfits and his hair and everything.
Yeah,
and she fucking called him out on it too. Like when he asked, like, hey, am I a good looking dude? Like, and she's the man. Like that scene happens also with Channing Tatum. And she's just like, yeah, you are. Wait, shit, I'm supposed to be a dude. I can't say that. I mean, yeah, I guess you're okay. Versus Ronnie just instantly tears him down. She's just like, well, you're a little short because Sean is, and your hair's really long. But, you know, I guess you're okay. Like, and I like that she straight up called him out on it. I thought that was badass of her.
One of the things I noted down was I didn't realize, like, I was a Shahid Kapoor guy before the things that got him to where he is today.
Yeah.
I was Fida. I don't know if you've ever watched that movie. I think that was like his second or third movie where he played like this jilted lover kind of guy. And I've always compared that performance in what it means for his career, similar to what Dar was for Shah Rukh Khan.
Interesting. I'm gonna have to see that.
It was the first movie with Kareena too, I think. Kareena and Fardeen Khan, if anyone knows who that is. And yeah, dude, he was really good. He played like this jilted lover who comes back. It's like one of those thriller type things. It's really cool. And it was like a dramatic role for him in his third or second movie. And I'm like, holy shit, this kid did like this teeny bopper soap opera movie as his debut, and then his second or third movie is like this awesome dramatic thriller thing. And I'm like, yo, this kid's gonna go places. And then obviously for like 5 years he did crap all. Then I think Kamine was when people were like, oh. But the thing is, I forgot how terrible he was before Vishal Bharadwaj came along. And I'm watching this movie and I'm like, oh man, like, this guy,
look,
like,
this was a terrible story that he was given to deal with. Like, this role was, I mean, it had an entire scene where he's breaking down over finding out that he was lied to and that a girl's better at cricket than him. Like this was not a good script. Like, he was a good actor. Like, Joe We Met was very good.
Yes.
And that
this is like, I completely agree with you, but it's just, it was just weird because I'm like, oh, I remember these. Like, it was kind of like this going back to, because he's one of those actors. I mean, now he's kind of like those actors who is good undeniably in almost everything he does. But there was a time where it was like, depending on the director.
I guess that's fair. But like, I don't think anyone could have done that role better than him, given how bad the script was to start out with. Yeah. Like, this was a bad story. Like, it was a bad interpretation. And I'm saying that, like, and I still enjoyed the movie, but like, it really was a bad script.
It was, it was pretty bad.
And I guess the other thing that helps you forget about how terrible his acting is at least they break it up by giving you a dance sequence every now and then. And
yeah, there's
undeniably always been a great dancer.
I'm one of my pet peeves is Bollywood movies that don't space the songs up, like the pace, like the spacing of the songs are really close together, and 90s movies did this a lot.
Yo, She's the Man did the same thing.
Yeah, but those were
The
like
sound, so
montage
listen, the sound
songs.
mixing on both of these was awful, right? At least in the versions that I had. So the songs were at this ridiculous level, higher than everything else. And I have a fucking bunny rabbit living with me. Like, his poor, or her, she's a her, I'm getting confused, all this gender stuff. Her ears will like blow out. Like, I didn't want her to like freak out and like die because she's hearing this loud music, but I also wanted to hear the dialogue.
Yeah,
And
you
every
know what?
time during She's the Man, I
Yeah.
had to turn down the music and then turn up the sound instantly for dialogue. And I finally thought, oh, this is a dialogue scene. Great. And the music would come back. It was the same problem in
Yeah.
both movies.
You know what? Yeah, you're so right. Because I did the same thing with the Little Red Hoodie Book. Because I watched that super late at night. And I had to keep turning down the volume. Because anytime music came on, which was every 7 minutes.
Right, but so was the same thing in She's the Man, and
Fair
at
enough.
least in Double Hitty, but the music was good. That's what I'm saying. Like, She's the Man,
Fair
that
enough,
music was
yeah.
awful.
Yeah, but
Awful.
still, when it's like a 5 minute break between songs, I feel like, okay, give me more story before you jump into a song. I mean, sounds are
I guess
good,
it's
but
because I watched the two straight back to back. Like, I watched She's
maybe.
the Man, which this was my first watching of She's the Man and my second watching of Double Hidiba. But so I watched She's the Man first and then I rewatched Double Hidiba because I was so excited from She's the Man that I had to keep going, even though it was past my bedtime. And I was very pleasantly surprised by the music in Double Hidiba in comparison to the same frustration of having to raise and lower the volume in She's the Man, but at least this time the music was good, so I couldn't complain too much.
Fair enough. I also gotta say, I recently watched Hitchki, which is Rani Mukherjee's
I really
newest
want to
movie.
see that.
I loved it. My kid loved it. My 9-year-old for the first time in her life, and she's one of those very sort of cold kids. Like my 5-year-old is like me. We cry at everything. Like Star Wars Episode Three, my kid cries like every single time it comes on. But my 9-year-old is very sort of super emotionless, cold, and that kind of person. But yeah, Hitchki, she bawled twice. But anyways, my point is like I'm watching Hitchki, and I remember when I watched the trailer for Hitchki, and it was like Ronnie's comeback. My first reaction was like with her Tourette's, and then the way she was playing that. My first reaction right away in the 2-minute trailer was that, oh man, she's gonna, you know, this is gonna be played for like laughs, and this, you know, her Tourette's is gonna be played for like a joke and that kind of thing. But by the end of the 2-minute trailer, there's a scene where she's trying to make herself stop, and she's in the corner crying. And dude, that scene got me in the trailer. I'm like, out of context, I'm like, holy shit. Like I need to watch this movie, and that scene in the movie does get you too. But now watching Dilbale Haripa almost 10 years ago, I'm looking at this movie. I'm like, holy shit, she's been taking crazy risks that I don't see any. Like I mean, again, I'm sure other actresses do too. But I don't see a lot of Bollywood actresses taking those risks. There's scenes where Rani Mukherjee, a leading Bollywood actress at the time, is in like drag with a fake beard, and she's doing the stupidest things. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, yo, I gotta respect her for this. Like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever seen. But the fact that she's doing this and she's putting herself out there and she's essentially the comic relief in her own leading starring role movie, to me was like insane. And I'm like, this lady's been taking risks from 10 years ago and she's still taking risks. So no matter what you say about her, like, that's kind of her selling point at this point. So, weirdly enough, I think we're both at the consensus that the 2006 Amanda Bynes movie, She's the Man, was a better movie overall than the 2009 Rani Mukherjee starring Bollywood movie?
Yes.
Who'd have
Although
thunk it?
Amanda Bynes and Rani Mukherjee are both brilliant actresses. They both really
I don't.
impressed me.
That's. I find that offensive. I find that comparison offensive, 'cause that's terrible.
I was surprised. I didn't know Amanda Bynes was a great actress, but she is. I saw this movie. It was great.
She's given things to work with that she kind of can do. I don't think that makes her an amazing
Okay,
actress.
fair. Like, no, I don't think overall she's Rani Mukherjee, but like, maybe she's comparable to Shahid.
He's definitely prettier, though, I gotta say. I also gotta say, Shahid has a lot of more cleavage than Rani in Dilbale Haripa, which I thought was very progressive.
Well, she's a
And
man. That's
no,
the
I know.
premise of the movie.
So is he, supposedly. So,
But like she has to cover up her cleavage or else it would be obvious she's not a man.
no, I mean, even in the scenes where she's playing herself, like as a amazingly gorgeous woman, Shahid still has more scenes of cleavage.
Well, yes, because she's re-watch the epitome of India.
He's got the plunging V neckline, yes. And you see his pec cleavage. And this is not the first movie that Shahid's done this, too. So it just brings me back to, like, 2000 Shahid, which I can't excuse.
The reasoning was because he is this westernized dude, so of course he's showing skin just like the other westernized Sonia, and... She is the perfect epitome of everything Indian, so she, of course, has to be conservative and not show any cleavage.
You know what also didn't make sense at one point? Like, was Rani originally was she originally attracted to Shahid or not? Or did that happen after? Because there's a point where she's trying to get that Sonia character to, like, hook up with Shahid, and then after Shahid shows interest in her, she's like, yo, bro, you should probably back off. And I'm like, what's happening?
Yeah, it just sort of, like, yeah, it didn't... It made a lot more sense since she's the man when that transition happened.
Yeah, because cause that was self-serving, right? Because that was kind of like, oh, I didn't know he was into me, so crap, I gotta get this girl that I was trying to get him onto away from him, and that creates a love triangle.
Quite literally DDLJ in that, like, all of a sudden, he shows up with a fucking mandolin, and then... she's in love with this guy who she hasn't cared a shit about the entire time before that.
All right, so before this becomes a shit fest on DDLJ, I think we can wrap it up here, right? I mean, this was pretty good. Kayfield, thank you so much for taking the time to come on again. I know you had to. I know this was a long time sort of coordinating. Hopefully, next time you're on, you'll pick better movies. Even though this ended up being
pick the movies instead of me.
Yeah, but I feel like those are movies you won't watch, and you just spark notes that shit again.
Okay, the Mel Gibson one was terrible.
Alright, fair enough. Alright, so let everyone know where they can get in touch with you on social media.
Yes, I am on social media at KFIL, which is at KAY_FIL.
I love how for, like, literally 30 seconds you got so uber professional, where you're like, yes, you can find me.
it's OCD drugs hitting me in.
Careful, don't want to lean into Tourette's. Well, again, thank you so much for coming, and thank you for everyone for listening. I know this was sort of an indulging episode, but if you do want to listen to more of these and you want to have KFIL back more, please subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or any other preferred podcasting app. If you want to actually hear the show on your browser, feel free to visit either our home at Audioboom or my website, which is blankpagebeatdown.com. If you liked what you heard today, please leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. To follow the show, you can follow us on Twitter at splitscreen_pod, and follow me personally on Twitter at TheShahShahid, which is also the best place to get in touch with me with any feedback you might have or any ideas for the shows, or even if you want to appear as a guest like KFIL and pick your own movie that you want to suffer
me through. It might take, like, a few years before he listens to you and invites you
This is your second show in how many weeks? Like, four?
Yeah, but the first show took a long-ass time.
So thank you once again, everyone, for listening. My name is Shah Shahid, and this has been an episode of the Spiskin Podcast. Have yourself a great night.